Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll begin here at verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 1 on the subject that I've been preaching on for the last two Sundays, entitled Using the Law of God, Using the Law Lawfully. Using the Law Lawfully. Now I've preached two messages from this, and I have two more that I want to give you. But it's very, very important in reading and studying and interpreting the Bible that we understand what the law of God is, why it is given, and how it is to be used. What is the law of God? Well, most people, when they think of the law of God, their minds immediately goes to the Ten Commandments, which is the law of God and was given to the nation Israel by Moses from Mount Sinai, by God through Moses on Mount Sinai. It was the moral code that was the foundation of the Old Covenant. That Old Covenant that God made with the nation Israel on Mount Sinai. That covenant lasted for about 1,500 years from Mount Sinai to the cross. When Christ fulfilled that law, crying out, "It's finished," and He finished it for His people. And I've mentioned this verse several times in these messages, Romans 10 and verse 4. It says, Christ is the end of the law. That means the finishing, the completion, even the perfection, fulfillment of the law for everyone that believeth. But think of the law of God this way, not just as the Ten Commandments, which was a moral code that God gave to Israel, but think of it this way. It's whatever God says. It's His commandments in whatever generation, in whatever way they're revealed. God gave a law to Adam in the garden, and Adam broke that law. The word sin sometimes means transgression of the law. Sometimes it means falling short of the law. But understand what Paul is writing here. He's talking about those false professors, false Christians, false preachers who claim to be teachers of the law. That's in verse 7. They desired to be teachers of the law. Now, probably what he's referring to is they claim to be teachers of the Jewish law, the Old Covenant law, the Ten Commandments. Now, you understand now that the Old Covenant was more than just the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was the heart and the foundation of it. But there was also the ceremonial law that was given, the Levitical law. There were dietary laws. There were civil laws that were given to the nation Israel. And so these false preachers desired, he says in verse 7 of 1 Timothy 1, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They're ignorant of the law, and they claim to be teachers of the law. And I'll tell you what, that's like so many today who claim to be preachers of the Bible, who claim to be gospel preachers, but they don't understand what they're saying or what they affirm. They preach a false gospel, a false Christ, and the Lord said that would be one of the greatest signs of the nearness of His second coming is false Christianity. But Paul writes in verse 8, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." Nothing wrong with the law, whatever law that God gives, whether it's the old covenant law, whether it's the new covenant law that the church is under today. It's good if a man use it lawfully, rightfully. And he says in verse 9, he says, "But knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." Now that gives us a key of why God gives the law. You know, the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. None of us are perfect. None of us have by our works or in any way, by our birth, by our works, by our will, a righteousness that answers the demands of the law, that equals the requirement of the law. None of us have that. Romans 3:9, or 3:10 rather, says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." You see, that's the whole problem concerning a right relationship with God, salvation. God is righteous, and we are not. And God cannot accept and commune with anything, anyone, but those who are righteous. So the issue of the gospel is, how does one become righteous before God? Somebody says, "Well, what does it require for us to go to heaven?" We talk about going to heaven, which means eternal glory with Christ. What does God require? And most people will say faith, but you're missing the point. What does God require for a person to enter eternal glory with Him forever and ever and live forever? He requires righteousness. That's what He requires. Now, God knows that we're not righteous. God knows that we're a sinful people. When God gave the law to Israel on Mount Sinai, He knew they would not keep it. So He says here in verse 9 of 1 Timothy 1, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." God gave that law to a sinful people. The law of God, as it relates to us today, is given to a sinful people. Somebody says, "Well, I had a man tell me one time, he said, I'm going to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments." Well, my friend, you're fighting a losing battle. You're already in the negative, see? And as we all are, me too. That's why salvation is not by works, but it's by grace. That law was not made for a righteous man. A righteous man is one who is justified, one who is not guilty, one who is righteous before God. Well, the Bible says that in ourselves there is none righteous. The law was made for the lawless, the disobedient, the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust." So anything that's contrary to the gospel is sin. That's what he's saying. Now, let me give you a couple of things to think about here from the scripture. If God knew, for example, Israel, when he gave that nation the law on Mount Sinai, he knew they wouldn't keep it. Why did he give it? Why is there a revelation of any law from God to mankind in any form if God knows that we won't keep it? And he knows that because we're sinners. Well, let me give you this. And I talked about this. In Romans 5, for example, Romans 5 and verse 20, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." The offense there has to do with our sinfulness. He says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." that as sin hath reigned unto death, verse 21, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That verse 21 has always been one of my favorite verses since the Lord opened my eyes to see the gospel of Christ. It's where we get the name reign of grace. Reign of grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. We call this is Eager Avenue Grace Church, but we call the ministry that we have on television and in our books and everything, we call it Reign of Grace Media Ministry. So, he says the law entered that the offense might abound. Over in the book of Galatians 3 and verse 19, he poses the question, wherefore then serveth the law? Why is the law given? And he says in verse 19 of Galatians 3, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. The old covenant law was ordained by angels, messengers of God, in the hands of a mediator named Moses, but it was given until the time the seed should come. And if you'll read Galatians chapter 3, you'll find that the seed there is Christ. So why was the law given? Let me give you these four reasons. Number one, the law was given to Israel to show God's standard, God's perfect standard of holiness and righteousness. Verse 9 of 1 Timothy 1, knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man. In other words, God has a standard of perfect righteousness, and it is perfection. Be ye perfect, without any flaws, without any sin. Any sin is imperfection, unrighteousness. We quote Romans 3:23 quite often. You probably do too. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word sin there, that's the most common Greek word used for sin in the New Testament. Where are we going to find the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is only found, the saving glory of God is found in the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness alone. Again, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so the perfection of the law. So the law was given, number one, to show the standard of holiness and righteousness. And then, secondly, the law was given to show that no person fallen in Adam and born spiritually, dead spiritually in trespasses and sin can measure up to that high standard. I cannot measure up. You cannot measure up. Try to be the best you can be, and you cannot measure up to the standard of righteousness. You cannot work your way. You cannot think your way. And you cannot even sincerely strive and make yourself righteous before God. By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified. That's what the law was given to them to teach. And then thirdly, the law was given to show that we are unable to achieve righteousness by our own efforts. So religious efforts, moral efforts, ethics, whatever you can think of, in any realm of society, it's impossible to achieve this righteousness by our efforts. And then fourthly, and here's the main reason, the law was given to show our need of salvation by God's free, sovereign grace, unearned, undeserved, based on His justice, satisfied, the law satisfied, by pointing us to Jesus Christ as the only one who kept the law and fulfilled its requirements and satisfied its justice. The law was a schoolmaster, you might say, to lead us to Christ. That's the whole issue. There is no law keeping. There is no satisfying the law. There is no righteousness. There is no forgiveness, no pardon. You see, forgiveness and pardon, this is something that people need to learn today. forgiveness of sins and pardon of sins is based upon justice satisfied. The law's justice. The justice of the law. And if your idea or your claim of being forgiven is based upon anything that does not satisfy the justice of God, it's a false claim. It's a false refuge. And that's why the forgiveness of sins, you know, in 1 John 1, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and what? And just to forgive us our sins. And the if there is not a conditional if, it's an evidence. Those who have been forgiven evidence it by confessing their sins. And that's based upon justice satisfied through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's why we speak of righteousness imputed so much. You see, the righteousness that I have before God is not one that I had any part in working out or producing. The righteousness that I stand before God in is one that the Lord Jesus Christ alone worked out and produced by His obedience unto death. That's the gospel of substitution and satisfaction and imputation. And that's why we talk about, that's the heart of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God in human flesh. And the Bible says that He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. In other words, Jesus Christ became accountable for the sins. He became responsible to pay the debt of sins of the people whom God had given Him before the foundation of the world. That's why He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's why the Bible says that those who are in Christ are not under law. In other words, they're not condemned. They're not responsible to bring forth righteousness to save them. They're under grace. And as we read before, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. You see, grace, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's compassion is based upon justice satisfied, the law satisfied by Jesus Christ, not by you, not by me, because we always fall short. That's why I say I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'll never be anything more in this life than a sinner saved by grace. And when I go to be with Christ in glory, I will be perfectly free from the influence and contamination of sin. But it'll always be by His grace, not by my works. So when we speak of imputed righteousness, what we're speaking of is a righteousness that Jesus Christ, the God-man, God in human flesh, worked out by His death on the cross in the place of His people. And it is imputed, it is charged, it is accounted to them by God in the courts of His law and justice. You see, God must justify the ungodly. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote over in the book of Romans chapter 8, and I love these verses, it speaks of the assurance of salvation and shows you why a person who is truly saved can never lose that salvation. He says in Romans chapter 8, in verse 31, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, how can I know that God is for me and not against me? Well, there's only one way. That is through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of His people. You see, a person who does not know and believe in Christ as He is presented and distinguished and identified in the Bible can have no confidence, no right confidence, let's say, no true confidence that God is for him. If God is for you, then at some point in your life, you're going to be brought under the preaching of the gospel, and you're going to be reconciled to God in your mind and heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, you see, this is Christ, but delivered him up for us all. Now, all there is not all without exception. The Bible doesn't teach that. He delivered him up for us all who believe, all who love God, here in verse 28. Delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, also freely, unconditionally, without a cause, give us all things? If Christ died for me, then I'll have all things, all blessings, in him. But look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now, the only way that sin can be charged to anybody is on the basis of the law. Paul wrote over in Romans chapter 5, where there's no law, sin cannot be imputed. Sin cannot be charged. That's what imputed means. It means charged, accounted, reckoned. Sin cannot be charged to anybody except on the basis of law. That's why Paul said the law was not made for a righteous man. The law charges sin to a sinful people. So when he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, it's God that justifieth. What does it mean, God justified me? It means he in his court, you might say it this way, in God's mind, in God's court of justice, he looked upon his people and he says, not guilty. Not only that, he looks upon his people and he says, righteous. They're righteous. Now, how can he do that? Because God saves sinners. And we've all sinned. We fell in Adam. We're born dead in sin. We come forth from the womb spiritually dead with the capacity to lie. And so we do. We all sin. And sinners deserve damnation. Justice demands payment be made. So how can God look at me, a sinner, and declare me not guilty and still be right and just? How can God look upon me, a sinner, and declare me righteous and still be just? Well, here's the answer now. And this is the marvelous, amazing grace of the gospel. This is the glory of the gospel. Listen to it in verse 34. Here's the basis of God doing that and remaining right and just and righteous in himself. It says in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. You see, God cannot condemn anyone for whom Christ died. These people that are telling you that Christ died for everybody, conditioned upon their making the right decision, even for those who end up in hell, they're not teaching you right. They're not preaching the true gospel. They're not telling you the truth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. His resurrection was based upon justice satisfied in the place of his people based on their sins imputed, charged to him. Why is it that God cannot charge sin to me? Because my sin was charged to Christ, my sin debt. And so he says, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ right now, on the basis of his law work, on the basis of justice satisfied by his death, on the basis of righteousness established as signified by his resurrection, right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, living to make intercession for his people. Now, that's the whole thing of the law, fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And that's what it is to use it lawfully. Now, next week I'm going to show you a scriptural example of the law being used lawfully in the salvation of a sinner. But you know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3 that faith does not make the law void. Well, how does it not make the law void? It pleads Christ and His righteousness. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you. We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.